Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, I'm going to start reading here. Therefore, bring me down just a little bit. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering the rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest. As he said, so I swore my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Now we can go on down and notice there. I'm just going to read in verse 4. But let's just go ahead and read the rest of that. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this place, they shall not enter my rest, since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. And you could just say because of doubt and unbelief.
Yeah.
Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice. That's why we're here, isn't it? To hear his voice. To hear what God's word says about these things. So today, after such a long time as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. In other words, listen up. Don't let things bounce off, so to speak. When I put it out there, catch it with your glove of faith. I take that. It's mine.
Yes.
And as many times I'm sitting in a chair as you are, and I'm saying to myself, I'm attending to your words.
Yes.
I'm inclining my ear unto your sayings. I'm letting them not depart from my eyes. I'm keeping them in the midst of my heart. For they are life to me as I find them. As I find them. As I hear them. As understanding comes. Because we get knowledge. But then understanding comes. And then I start applying it. And right there in that chair I'm saying, thank you, Lord. God's word is working for me now.
Amen.
And that's applying wisdom. So you've got knowledge. And you've got understanding. And you've got wisdom. And it's a multifaceted wisdom when we're using what we hear. When we're applying it, even sitting in your chair or leaving this place of worship and getting in your car and situations arise where you're constantly speaking your faith.
Yes,
you know, my mom and I were driving back from Kansas City on Monday. We came back early because we heard there could be some storms on Tuesday. So we just came back early to use wisdom, of course. And we were talking about some things, and it just rose up in my heart to say, you know, we are protected and kept.
Yes.
We are protected and kept.
Yes.
And we were going down the road, and we weren't far from the house, and a deer ran right out in front. And earlier this year, actually at the end of last year, a deer hit my car, and that was not going to happen again. Because the Lord just dealt with me. You weren't quite paying attention, and you're going a little too fast. You know what I mean? Been there, done that. So I know that those words I spoke ahead of time protected us and kept us.
Yes.
And in the split second I had to stop, I had to swerve. He did not. I didn't even see him. I mean, he brushed the car. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He was that close. And God protected us from that. And I told my mom, I will be going slower in that, you know, and that's like around 8:30. So you got to be really careful on that road. But in that process, like three deer came out on the way home. So we have to be very careful. But I know God protected us.
Amen.
Now, if we're speaking words of doubt and unbelief, we are opening the door for these things to happen. And even when I could have been going, you know, basically 5 miles slower, I think I was like 5 miles over on that particular road, but in that particular area, I've never had a deer run out in front of me, so I was really watching. But even then, God protected me. Amen. He used wisdom, but But I'm going to be a steward and even do better. Praise the Lord. So speaking our faith, being in rest. I was on a trip with Pastor Nancy several years ago, a Midwest trip, and we got in a rainstorm, and it was just raining, you know, cats and dogs, as they say. And it was just heavy. And it was lightning and thundering, and I spoke up and said something stupid. I said, "Pastor, should we take our authority over this?" And she looked at me and said, "I'm already in faith about it. We're fine." Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. You see, they woke Jesus up and said, "Master, what do we do?" He already had it covered. I'm not saying, you know, I don't need to go ahead of time and see Pastor Nancy and check out if her faith was in tune with mine. You know what I mean? I'm on a trip with the prophet, okay? But I wasn't waking her up, but still, I think it was stupid for me to say that. I could have just under my breath, if I needed to, take authority, but she already had it covered.
Amen.
And I should have known that. You understand?
Amen.
Well, anyway. So they shouldn't have woke Jesus up. He already had it covered. It was already, he was already in the keeping power. And can we understand that any time that a situation comes up, like we see somebody else get hurt, I never put somebody down in that situation. I pray for them, but I always out of my mouth, "Thank you, Lord, we're protected and kept."
Amen.
It will never come out of my mouth to speak a negative word about somebody coming up and shooting the church up or a school in our area or something like that. I will never open the door. Well, what are you going to do if that happens? We have all the natural things in place.
Yes. Amen.
And whatever else we need to do, we will use wisdom.
Amen.
But I'm constantly speaking my faith, just like I did on that road ahead of time when that deer came.
Yes.
I had already said, "We are protected and kept."
Yes. Amen.
I think I was with my sister and mom, and I said, "As long as you're in this car, you're protected and kept."
Amen.
My sister doesn't like to drive on the highway, and I'm not putting her down. I mean, you know. Either have faith to or not. I'm not to each his own. I'm not putting anybody down. But I said, as long as you're in this car, you're protected and kept.
Amen.
And of course, I've got to do my part and use wisdom in my driving and all that.
Yes, ma'am.
But it's time for us to constantly, out of our heart, speak our faith.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Like I said, I'm not putting anybody down. Because each one of us have to look at our situation and see if we have faith. Maybe you don't have faith to drive. Okay, let somebody else pick you up. I have no opinion about that matter. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's go to verse 11. Actually, let's back up to verse 9. We didn't read that yet, did we? Yeah. "There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his." How many of us have missed it? How many of us have felt condemned? How many of us, it's like, "Oh my goodness, I don't even deserve to have healing." And so we try to bend over backwards and do works and offerings of, "Okay, God, what can I do to help healing work in my life?" Well, first of all, you can just lay down all your works and accept the fact that you're already healed. You're already been made whole. Well, sometimes we don't feel like it, right? But like Brother Copeland, I was listening to him earlier today, it's not about feelings. And we can't walk in the realm of feelings. Walking in the rest of faith, and that's really what we're talking about tonight, walking in rest is just constantly feeding on God's word, taking opportunities to respond. When something speaks to me, I respond.
Yes.
When I'm putting gas in my tank and that thing is saying, You can't pay for me. I respond, in Jesus' name, I have a supply.
Amen.
When I'm at the grocery store and I realize that we're spending a lot more on groceries, I speak to the situation. I don't always out loud, hey, I got a supply.
Yeah, come on.
But to myself, I'm saying, I have a supply.
Amen.
That's a rest.
Yes.
Why? Because I've been meditating on God supplies all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So, my friend, we are going to have to stop ourselves and learn to respond right.
Yes.
Respond in a rest of faith that says it's all taken care of in Christ.
Yes. Amen.
And yet at the same time, do the work that we need to do. You know, like Pastor Jay, he was talking about being in Kansas City. I was watching the live stream on Sunday. We stayed a few extra days to spend some time with family. And then also, we were still looking at the building and different things like that on Monday before we left. But Pastor Jay was talking about this on Sunday. It seems that we're at a place, and not just seems, it is. We are at a place where we are taking much greater steps, financial steps of faith. And I've already gotten a little bit, you know, just from some people, not in this congregation, you know, just a little bit of, you're looking at that building?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's right. Yes.
And, you know, and not ask, how much does it cost? It costs money.
Yeah.
It costs money. When we bought this building back, what? Is it 2003? So we're talking almost 20 years ago. I mean, with the renovations and everything, we spent over $1 million. So I was telling Pastor Jay, I said, really, if you look at that, and to this day, it's really no different. We didn't have the money to do that back then. What we have to do, and that's not doubt and unbelief. You see, it's already over. We had the building. I'm just saying, I'm just telling you, at that time, we didn't have it.
Right.
But we didn't talk about what we didn't have. We called those things that be not. What be not? Money? We called those things that be not as though they were. So we said, we have the money. We have the supply.
Yes.
But we were led by the Spirit of God. We fed our faith.
Yes.
And we responded to those situations. And we did the work that we needed to do. And God met us. And it's never been hard. Oh, there's been some times where, you know, it came close. And frankly, I'll just say there are a few times Pastor Jay even held back our pay before anybody else's. But I was like, okay, well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
I didn't want to eat this month. Not a problem. No. I was fine. God always provides. Never melted away. I'm all good. Obviously, we're all good. Amen. And so, did we have challenges? Have you had challenges over the years? But as we fed our faith, as we gathered together as a congregation, and as we responded the right ways, God has always provided. And now we have not just the one building. Now we have like three buildings, you know, or I call three and a half, the maintenance building. And playgrounds that they said we couldn't build, you know. Todd could have got electrocuted. Where's Todd at? Where are you at, Todd? Yeah, he's patrolling. I don't know if you knew that, but when he was using skid loader or something over there and came very close to a line, and God protected us.
Amen.
You know, they said we didn't have a spot for the playground. I'm like, let's go look. What do we have to work with?
Come on.
Okay, let's do it there.
Yeah.
Well, there's an easement there. You know, the city has to prove it. Okay. Well, let's go to the city then.
All right. Yeah.
So I went to the city.
All right.
And he said, sure, no problem. Was that easy?
Yeah.
They just said, oh, by the way, if we ever have to dig that up, you know, we'll have to dig up your fence. I'm like, okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Build it.
Yeah.
What if they have to dig up the fence? I don't care. We'll get a new one.
Yeah.
That's how that works.
Yeah.
They got to dig one up, you got to do another.
Right.
Okay? In short, we just learned that we don't say it can't be done.
Right.
All right, well, so I'll go on here. So we have a supply for the buildings in Kansas City. Of course, we've already been speaking in faith about what God's doing for the home for Spirit of Faith Family Church in Cedar Rapids here. And you're adding another church on there? No, God is. No, I never woke up in the middle of the night and begged God for anything. Trust me. Please give us another church. Please. Never did it. But what I did is we want your plan and your purpose. And when I was a little younger, it may have been about, wow, it'd be really cool if we had the biggest building and the best building, you know? And I don't really care now. I don't care. As I get closer to glory, I don't care. So when God says, okay, that building, $4.2 million, I'd be like, okay. Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Get that little froggy out of your mouth.
Amen.
Why'd you tell us the price? Well, all you have to do is look and you could tell. So, all right. Some of you have looked up the value of our house. I'm sure you have. I'm not telling you to. It's really none of your business, but you may have, you know. That's okay. It's money, okay? We got plenty of it. It's in my mouth. Did you know that the assessors came and assessed our house? And I'm not going to tell you how much they assessed it for. Because really, it really is nobody's business, okay? This is our personal home, and I don't need to give anybody an explanation of what we put in our home or how much it's worth or anything like. I'm just telling you that it appraised for a lot more than...
Yeah.
And in all honesty, you want to see my shocked face? I'm like, really? And now with all this going on, I mean, if we sold it, it's like, but... It's our home. You know, why would I want to sell it? Move right along. Okay. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The biggest thing is that we, and let me back up a little bit. It's okay if people know how much the buildings cost and that type of, I mean, this is a church family. We need to know what we're believing for. You understand? I'm not saying that. It's just some people will lose their false teeth. That's all I'm saying. You got some in the group that just aren't quite there. And to you, I'm just saying, hold your teeth in. Okay. Just hold it in. It's okay. Yeah. Hold it in. It's okay. All right. Just keep coming back and getting the word. And then when we have special meetings where y'all can drive up, you know, with us at times, then you'll be excited too. So, amen. Moving right along. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So we just have to keep our heart right.
Amen.
And we've got to get the word in our heart so that the doubt and unbelief is pushed out. You know, just like, remember Simon the sorcerer? Remember when Peter told him, you have bitterness in your heart. You know, he tried to buy the gift of God. He saw them get filled with the Holy Ghost, and there was an utterance that came forth, and he tried to buy that. He had been a sorcerer by trade and had basically called himself a god. So when he got saved under Philip's ministry, this is in Acts chapter 8, Philip was doing evangelistic crusades, and Simon, the sorcerer, who he used to be called the sorcerer, he was sitting on the front row, and he saw all the miracles. But when he saw them get somebody filled with the Holy Ghost, he's like, oh, if I had that, that would make me look really good. And his heart wasn't right. And Peter told him, I perceive that you are full of bitterness. I perceive, you know, you're full of yourself, basically. And we just have to get ourselves out of the way. Just like right now, we're making choices and decisions for bigger things. Why? To reach more people. To train more people. To get more people saved and filled with the Spirit. Did you know that there's a Unity Church right down? I'm not putting churches down, but from what I understand, they don't believe in the new birth. I mean, and they're right down the street. And I'm not putting anybody down. I'm just saying those people need to get saved. It's like the international headquarters. So I have no problem for those sheep to jump over the fence into our church so they can get saved. You understand? I'm not going to apologize for that. So that they can get filled with the Holy Ghost, so that they can get healed. At the same time, we have other churches in the way that are teaching salvation and baptism and healing and that type of thing. Of course, we'll call the pastor and say, hey, so-and-so's coming. And, you know, we want to be honorable. Of course we would do that. We do that here as well. But like one minister said, you know, if a sheep gets all fat and fluffy and jumps over the fence, you know, and they need to get saved, I'm not going to push them back over. Right? So, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Now, I want you to go to verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Notice the word says that we had weaknesses, that we have weaknesses. But what do? You talk about them?
No.
Our confession is one of faith in God. So what we talk is, we have a supply. We are the healed of the Lord. We have a covenant of healing and health. We have provision. I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. No matter what my body feels like, I will constantly speak his word. And God is not a man that he should lie.
That's right.
It will turn around, my friend. When we are speaking his word, when we are making our positive confession from a heart of faith, that is rest in him.
Amen.
And it would help if you smile when you did it. Versus, I'm the healed of the Lord.
Come on.
Praise the Lord. We're blessed financially, but look at the gas prices. Ethel, have you seen the gas prices lately? But you know, I'm in faith. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. He cares about us. But he made a way out through believing in your heart and speaking with your mouth. He made a way out. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. How many of you go and spend time with family or maybe friends or situations and you're challenged at times? Because not that you're putting anybody down, but maybe they haven't been taught about you're going to have what you say. And the world will push its ways off on you. They want you to join in. And many times it's like a slippery slope. You want to join in. And if you're the only one, you know, and normally I just stay quiet. But sometimes I have to answer the thing. It's like I have a supply.
Amen.
And sometimes I get looked at like, but you know what? I believe that everybody means well. They just haven't been taught. So I respond when I have a witness to respond.
Amen.
Otherwise, I just stay quiet.
Yeah.
I'm not everybody's Holy Ghost policeman. But I needed to hear it over and over and over and over and over and over and then some more and then some more and then some more.
Yeah.
So I'm not around going and checking out everybody's positive confession. Now, I will correct more our staff and those that we're directly in charge of.
Yeah.
Or even in the departments of the church or something like that, I will correct more if somebody speaks doubt and unbelief or what have you that could interfere with us going into the land. Because remember the Israelites got together and there was a slippery slope from one man that came back and said, "We can't go in." And those words caused the rest of the Israelites to cry and to complain. And by the end of the night, they were ready to stone Moses. Or was it Caleb? Anyway, you know the story. Numbers chapter, 13 and 14 there? Yeah. So anyway, it was Moses. And it wasn't years later that God allowed finally for Caleb and Joshua to go in. Why? Because they were the only two that spoke faith. I don't want to be held back, and I don't want to hold others back because I speak up in the difficult times. Sometimes people may want to stone me. Like I said, I don't try to speak up and be everybody's Holy Ghost policeman, but there are times when I've just about had enough and I'm like, look, we're going in. And that's what Caleb and Joshua, we're well able.
Yes, amen.
And the other leaders are like, we're grasshoppers in their sight. Well, how do you know?
Come on.
How do you know that you're grasshoppers? Did you go up and say, hey, Mr. Giant, how do you see me?
Yeah.
As a grasshopper? No. That's how they saw themselves.
Yes.
I don't think they were in rest. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen. Mercy's a big one. Every day, speaking his mercies. Pastor Jay said, there are some dreams that some of you desire, and it's time to come into the throne room and get what he has provided for you. It's time for walking into some of our dreams. He loves you and wants you to enjoy your life. He went on to say, and this was back in 2020, many times we go to God with all the awareness of our failures rather than with all the awareness of his mercies. Some of our eyes are on our failures and not on God's mercies, but on our own expectations that are moved by our failures we have set before us. You and I need to just take a compassion bath. I thought that was good. Take a compassion bath. I have been saying these last 2 weeks, God, your mercies are new every morning. Have you missed it in here? Let it go. Get up in the morning. Take a compassion bath, or take one tonight whenever you need it. Get up and start new and start fresh.
Amen.
And stop reminding God, well, I did this and this and this, and I've apologized 400 times, and it's just not going to work anymore, God. I just, you know, your power is not big enough to put me over.
Wow.
And all God wants us to do is ask one more time. Forgive me, Lord.
Yeah.
That's all he wants to do.
Yes, ma'am.
One more time. Why? Because he didn't see the last 400.
All right.
If we took our compassion bath, it was wiped away.
That's so good.
So get up tomorrow
in
that mercy and start all over again.
Amen.
See, I'm the biggest one there. I could just forever be kicking myself. Well, I could do this better. I could do this better. You know, we have people watching us. And I can just see the Lord. It's like, when is she gonna get over herself? And just let my mercy wipe it out. I understand there are things that we need to do, because when we continue in sin or distractions or wayward wayness, we continue in a spiral, and other people are watching us, and yes, we can affect people. But is it going to help if you just write yourself off and write God's power off? Or how many people can you affect if you take that compassion bath and ask for mercy and say, okay, Father, your word is stronger than my situation. And he's just asking us, spend some time in my word.
Yes.
Just put me first. Even if it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes. And we can grow in that. But then we all have seasons. I know. Been there, done that, had the t-shirts. We all have seasons where we allow ourselves to get distracted. We get out of rest. We get drained. And then we start telling God, you're not going to be able to use me. I mean, really?
Come on.
I've just royally messed up, God. I'm not worth anything right now, Lord. Just go use Teresa. I mean. And God's saying, no. No. I expect you to fulfill my plan. No, I expect you to get up. I expect you to get over yourself. I expect you to put the word on that situation. I expect you to make the changes in what you're looking at and what you're doing on a daily basis. I expect you, by my grace, by my strength, to get into rest and do it all over again. That's what I expect. And if we will just get up, brush ourselves off and say, Father, here I am. Your grace is big enough. Your strength is big enough. So Pastor Jay went on to say, how do you position yourselves to go into just sit and hear and receive? Your heart must be dilated to receive bigger and bigger capacities. You may not always be able to position others to receive as best, but you can always. And he has that, and I add that in capital letters, position yourself to receiving God's best. How many know that we shouldn't wait to get faith when we need it?
Amen.
No, we must keep feeding on God's healing mercy so that when we need it, we will have it.
Amen.
I understand you may be at a place right now to where here's when I need it. And maybe you haven't been meditating. Maybe you are in a place where you drained. I'm just saying, let it go. Stop trying to do it yourself.
Yes.
Stop trying to work out his grace. and just remind yourself, Jesus did it all for me.
Amen.
Just make it light and easy.
Good.
And sometimes you just got to go home, go to bed, put Pastor Jay on YouTube, put Dr. Dufresne on, put Dad Hagen on, Pastor Nancy, Pastor Debbie. And just lie there and rest. And get up and do it again by His grace. And you're going to get through it. He's never failed anybody. The Lord said to Dad Hagen, when Aretha was dealing with a goiter, she had seen herself die on the operating table, so she didn't want to get it, you know, cut out, basically. And Dad Hagen also knew that she was going to die. He had a witness about that. He knew that. And she was choking at night, and he knew that she wouldn't get her healing, basically. Now, she's already healed, but you understand she had to receive that by faith, and she was seeing herself dying, and he was seeing that too. So he knew that she wasn't in faith for that. What did they do? Dad Hagen didn't know what else to do but ask the Lord to heal her. The Lord said, I am going to heal her because you asked. I long to do so many things for my children, but they just don't ask. So there are plenty of times on my own behalf I've just said, Lord, I missed it. I'm sorry. I just get back up. I'm just asking for your mercy. And my flesh is giving me the hardest time. It's not my spirit, because my spirit's not condemning me. Condemnation is a damnatory sentence, a hammer of the enemy, that he comes in and he's just like, if you dare ask God to forgive you, I'm going to hit you with the biggest hammer ever.
Come on.
You don't want to ask God to forgive you for the 400th time. You don't, Lord, you just want to say, I've missed it. I'm a misfit. I'm dysfunctional. I just can't do it.
Come on.
But my spirit, when it's feeding on God's word, and you know what? Even when it's not feeding on the word, you got some word in there.
Amen.
You had some word in you, and that's why you're back sitting in that seat.
Amen.
The devil didn't want you to know that. But now you know. All you have to do is get back up. Brush yourself off.
Amen.
And you want to speak dysfunctional things. That's what your flesh wants to do. That is anxiety. It's the opposite of rest.
Yes.
But the rest of faith speaks, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Yes.
Greater is he who is in me than he who is in this world. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
You know what, God? I'm something else in you.
Yeah.
In you. Yes. You know, we're not supposed to think more highly of ourselves than we ought. You understand that?
Right.
So don't go tooting your horn.
Right.
When you have no word there.
Yeah.
But toot his horn.
Yes.
I guess you could toot your horn in Christ. Amen. Toot your horn in Christ.
Amen.
Start telling the devil who you are.
Yes.
Hey, this is what you say I am. Let me tell you who I really am.
Yes.
I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Yeah, but you did all this. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. I saw you.
Yeah.
No. No. That's all in the past.
Yeah. Amen.
And I'm not going there.
Come on.
God didn't remember it.
Right.
So just shut up.
Yes.
Amen.
Where's Josh at? Is Josh here tonight? Josh and Brandy? Okay. Well, tell Josh, I said, tell the devil to shut up. He likes it when I'm moving right on. All right, so let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Is this all right?
Yes.
And verse 19. Hebrews 10:19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. How many know that if we don't have boldness, we can't enter in?
All right.
Boldness is an outspoken confidence in Him.
Yeah.
That's the definition of boldness, an outspoken confidence, which means a faith. And how many know that if you're going to the throne of God, and many times I'll just kneel down and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I missed it.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Lord, I just take the blood. I just take your forgiveness. I just take your goodness. I just take your mercy.
Yes.
Lord, I need grace to help me get through this. I need strength. And how many of you know that God didn't say, no, not today? No, you miss it too many times. Why would he say that when he already forgave me? And he doesn't remember it anymore. As long as it's coming out of a heart of faith. Boldness. My friend, you can't go to the throne of grace telling God about all your shortcomings and expect to come out with anything but a spirit of fear on your back. By a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. How many of us don't draw near? We go the opposite direction because condemnation is trying to push us out of favor and righteousness in God. Draw near with boldness. Okay, stand up. Everybody stand up. Point your finger like you're pointing at the devil. Get out of here!
Get out of here!
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I'm righteous.
I'm righteous.
I'm loved.
I'm loved.
I have mercy.
I have mercy.
Woohoo!
Woo-hoo.
Okay. That's drawing near with boldness and confidence. Not sheepishly going to God and just telling him all your short. Now, I will say this. God wants to know that it's from a heart. You know, I've shared with people before that I've talked to and said, hey, you know, you said this or did this. And they're like, oh, okay. I'm like, what about I'm sorry under that? You know? So we need to be sorry if we did something wrong. Not just act like, oh, well, you know, I'm forgiven. Well, I know that, but could you at least show a little remorse, you know? For like 0.5 seconds or something, you know? And when we go to the throne of God, we ask for forgiveness. And we say, Lord, I missed it. And then it's over. And then what do? You just receive that forgiveness. And you just act in boldness. You just ask in boldness. You just speak boldness. And many times you're going to have to get up and the devil's going to get on your shoulder and you're going to have to do what I had you do. Shut up! Get out of here! I'm righteous! But many times we're not feeling it. We just repented. And we're in remorse for 5 days of mourning. You understand? With sackcloths and ashes and everything. And people see us. How are you doing? I'm all right.
All right then.
I'm all right. And they're still talking to you about how they missed it 5 years ago. You know, there are people that I talk to, and I won't say anything because it's in confidence, but they bring up the same things over and over. And I say, you know what? You're just going to have to, what do I do about this? My husband does this. Or what do I do about that? You're going to have to pray and ask God what to do. You're going to have to walk in love and forgive. Yeah, but should I stay in a marriage and this and this and this? Okay, I'm not the divorce court. What's God saying to you?
Amen.
if the situation is so bad and that person's heart is, you know, they're not going to make the changes and this and that, God's the only one that knows that. And you're going to have to get it from Him and then be bold in your choices and your decisions. And don't be wearing that badge for 5 years and 10 years. Just and that's what God expects out of us. It doesn't mean that we won't have challenging times. I mean, there are some women that they were left in a situation where they didn't have the money. Uh-huh. Or a single mom, yeah. You understand, and had to raise the child because, you know, yeah. Daddy decided to skip.
Yeah.
I understand, and I have compassion for those things, and we will help people, and we will work with them. But the bottom line is, you are just going to have to forgive yourself and step up and say, "Hey,
amen.
Mr. Devil, you're going to just shut up."
Amen.
I may have missed it, but God forgave me, and it's over with. Yes. And that's the bottom line.
Yes.
And that's what we have to do. And that's what I'm trying to tell people is, I can't counsel you on every decision you need to make, but you can't wallow in the mud about it for 5 and 10 years and longer and stay that way. God wants you blessed, but He can't bless you because you're wallowing. We got to stop talking about the negatives and start moving on to what God's plan and purposes are and have positive things in our life. And if there's somebody in our life that just isn't going to go there, my friend, follow the Spirit of God and love them from long distance.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I'm not the divorce court. But I have told people they're addicted to drugs or this, this, and this. You can't work with that? You want me to tell you what to do?
Come on.
Use wisdom. That's what I'm telling you what to do. Okay?
Yes.
And our heart is compassionate toward people. But we're talking about faith's rest. We're talking about boldness. But you can't get up in the morning and let God's mercies take you through the day when you keep coming to the throne room of grace with the same old problems. When you just keep dragging the same things. Okay? Do what God's telling you to do. Cut off the things that you need to cut off. And if it's a person that you need to say, bye-bye, just do what you got to do. Let God keep you and protect you. Let Him bring your supply. Let me tell you what, it's going to be easier than what you ever thought.
Seriously.
How could you say that? Well, most people that eventually leave a marriage because one spouse is abusing or something like that, they don't want to leave them because they think that they're not going to have the money to pay the bills. Yeah. Usually, they're the ones paying the bills anyway.
It's the truth. Seriously. Come on. It's true. Yep.
Okay. All right. Well, that was all free. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. I'm not at that place of full assurance. Let me tell you how to get in full assurance. Start getting in the Word and speaking it over yourself.
Yes.
I'm righteous. I'm clean through the blood. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world. Just keep speaking those things. And when you're with God, He looks at that as full assurance of faith. But when you're bringing shadows of the past, that's not full assurance. It doesn't matter what you feel like. We're not talking about feelings. We're not talking about emotions. We're not saying that you're going to go to the throne of grace and you're just going to feel all warm and fuzzy all the time. You're going to want to say, "Lord, I missed it and this and this and this and this." But you don't follow your emotions. You don't follow your feelings. You don't follow the enemy dogging you and bringing a damnatory sentence toward you. You just say, "Father, your word says." So I leave it behind me. And your mind's going to say, "You're just going to do the same thing in 5 minutes. Shut up. The only way that we can break addictive things in our life is to start saying the opposite. And it starts out in the throne room. It starts out just, I mean, get on your knees on a chair and just talk to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I missed it. And don't proceed to tell him you don't know how you're going to get through it. I've been doing this for 5 years. I don't know how it's going to work. No. God already knows all that. You've been saying that to him for the last 10 years. I'm trying to help. You understand? I've been there, done that. And it doesn't help. So we're supposed to get up here and preach and teach things that help from the Word. So that's what I'm trying to do. Rather than just salve you over a little bit and say, yeah, you can bring half doubt and unbelief, and then you can, you know, the other half, and you'll be fine. No. Leave it all behind you. Full assurance. Say that. Full assurance of faith. Full assurance of faith. So leave behind the negativeness. Leave behind, Lord, but if they didn't do no. God doesn't want to hear what your mom and daddy did for the last. You've been telling him that over and over and over. You know, let me tell you something. Just forgive. You're an adult now. It's time for you to put on your big boy pants and get in the throne room and say, Father, I missed it. It's not about mom and daddy. It's not about my brother and sister. It's not about so-and-so that did me wrong. And, you know, it's not about anybody. I am taking everything you have from me. Not only did that crazy preacher up there tell me I could do this, but your word says it. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, from a guilty conscience. That's what that means. Don't go to God with a guilty conscience. I know. I feel like doing it too. But he doesn't want to hear it. And our bodies washed with pure water. That means the word. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope, or that's a confident expectation, without wavering. In other words, without leaning toward, you know, back and forth like a roller coaster. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. So your faith works by love. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Why don't you stand up? Like I said, I'm not out to condemn the world. But God has dealt with me very strongly. You have to watch who you're hanging around with. You have to watch who you're spending your time with. You have to watch what you're watching on TV, the internet. Give me just a little piano. It helps the medicine go down a little bit. Okay. You have to stop hanging out with the naysayers and the doubters. And if that's part of your family, you just won't be able to spend time with them all the time. Amen. Or let me tell you this, you shouldn't be leaving your husband just because he doesn't believe in healing. But you make sure you get in the throne room and you talk to God and you speak healing and health whether he believes it or not. We've got to get bold. We've got to stand up, especially in our home. You know, we talk good things in our home, don't we, Mama? Yeah, we do.
Amen.
We do. Amen. That's our sanctuary.
Amen.
But let me tell you, if you are with a spouse who isn't speaking good things, you pray for them.
Yes.
And you stand up.
Amen.
And you say what you need to say. Amen. And then God will continue to give you wisdom and light. And that's what I counsel. If you come and you want counsel for your marriage, what to do because your spouse is doing everything wrong, I will point to you. about what you need with your relationship with the Lord. And once you're doing that, and if your spouse is still responding wrong, then God will give you wisdom on what to do. Amen?
Amen.
But your spouse not believing for healing is not paramount of him, you know, of divorcing him, okay?
Yes,
your spouse not believing the same things you do, but if they're abusing you, if they're going out on you, you know, that type of stuff, then that is much more severe. You understand? But you can handle needing to speak your faith. You can handle speaking the word of God and making your atmosphere of your home a right place to live in.
Amen.
Amen. Well, that's all I have to say about that. Father, we worship you.
Thank you.
Father, we thank you.
Thank you.
Father, we give you glory and we give you honor and we give you praise. We thank you, Lord. Pura shandele oratika andele bris unshat andata e bor sakavate. So say not in your heart, I don't know how to do that, because the word is telling you what to do. Simply come to me, the throne room of grace, and say, Father, forgive me. And surely my mercies are new every morning. And I will help you and I will uplift you and I will strengthen you. And you will get through your day stronger than you've ever been before. If you trust me. If you trust me. If you trust me. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. One more time, let's speed it up a little bit. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 If there's anybody, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, go ahead and play. Go ahead. Sing that through one more time. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Father, Gina, come up here, because we're just continuing to stand with you and strength working in your body. And, you know, no matter what the report is, We just stand in strength with you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we worship you. We thank you for healing and wholeness and strength in Gina's body. We stand with her. We thank you for your mercies that are new every morning. We thank you, Father, that she unashamedly can come before you every day and receive strength. Every day. So, Gina, tomorrow, the strength is more than even today. If you look at it that way, you'll continue to be stronger every day. Thank you, Lord. I'm refreshed. I'm strong. There have been times I went to go teach at the Bible school, and I flew all day, and I remember once, actually, I drank something that in my heart I knew I shouldn't have. It was some coffee I had bought at like TJ Maxx or something like that, and I just had a witness, there's not something right here, and I drank it anyway. And so that night I just woke up in the middle of the night. I'd flown all day, you know, got my rental car. You can go back to your seat. And so anyway, I just asked for mercy and asked God to forgive me and say, thank you, Lord. I will be refreshed in the morning. Yeah. I will be refreshed in the morning. And just every, and I just said that and it just all left. I will be refreshed. And any time that symptoms or something try to come back on me like that, sometimes the Lord will deal with me. Okay, you didn't get enough rest or this or that. So, and sometimes it takes a little longer. But many times I say that. In the evening, if symptoms try to come on me, and the next day, I'm just, they're all gone. So whether they're gone or not, I thank God I'm healed, but I just take one day at a time and just keep speaking that over my body. Now, I said something about marriage and about if you're in a home and if you're, there are just certain things that you're going to have to stand on. And going to God about your husband or your wife doing this or that or the other, just go and ask him what you need to do. That's what I was trying to say. Now, if a spouse is abusing you or doing something that, you know, you understand that's wrong. And you can't work with that. Unless they're going to prove to you, and normally that takes like 6 months. You understand? So that's a whole different story. But you can't expect everybody to believe the same way you do. Well, I can't live with anybody unless they're confessing the word. I can't, you know, they're going to have to eat like I do. They're going to have to speak like I. It's just not going to happen, honey.
Come on.
You're going to be around people that don't agree with you, and you're going to have to walk in love with them and not be their Holy Ghost policeman. Just take care of yourself. Just see, does that make better sense? Just go to the throne room of God and take care of you and God's relationship and get strength. And if you need to say something to your spouse or anybody else, he'll give you wisdom to say it. He'll give you the wisdom. Amen.